here. IMBY, it's actually called IMBY, not I-M-B-Y, although you can call it whatever you like, evolved from Our Town, which was a magazine, a quarterly magazine that we started for Our Town of Claverack, and it evolved into a magazine for the entire county. And people loved it, and we loved it too, but it was unsustainable. It just was too expensive, sadly, in this day and age to print.
And it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Well, that's because John is such a good designer. That's why it was beautiful. I'll let him take it from here.
And I once did an article for you.
You did, indeed.
About the Claverack Garden Club.
Right, that's right. I couldn't remember what it was, but
yeah, it was the garden club, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. And John, what's your background as a designer?
Oh, my background as a designer goes back decades. I started my own design studio in Manhattan in 1991. And working for commercial clients mainly, but this was after an extended career in a quite specialized branch of publishing. And I gravitated over the course of the 90s and into the new century to producing books on contemporary art and catalogs. And that's really, that's my particular field. I've worked for 15 years or so very closely with a non-profit art space in the city called White Box, which is through which I get most of my clients and contacts. And it's something that I love to do. It's not the most lucrative sector of the design business, but it's particularly challenging. I do tend to do rather more than design. I conceptualize and to some extent edit such publications. And we started Our Town as a kind of sideshow. Enid, too, has her own career. But it was, as she says, a labor of love. But we felt we were filling a niche and necessarily filling it with community journalism, which is really our interest. We're both quite involved in community affairs and so on. And it seemed like in Claverack, especially, there were some political divisions that weren't really getting addressed.
And Matt lives there, too.
Yes.
So yeah, you would know.
You know. And so we felt that establishing, you know, some journalistic channel that was inclusive of the whole community was important. But as Enid says, it wasn't really sustainable, like much print journalism these days. And it occurred to us first to franchise the magazine to other communities. But then we figured, well, if we can't make a go of it commercially, how is anybody else going to? So we thought, well, how do we cut expenses? And the natural solution was to go online. And what started out as just a simple online local magazine progressed into a more ambitious concept, which was to create a model for local citizen journalism and community networking that any community could adapt for its own coverage area. And that's basically what we've done. We started with two sites in Hudson and Claverack. And over the couple of years in which we've been testing it, and it's a rather complex site, has had a lot of glitches that have needed to be ironed out over the years. But it's pretty stable now, and it's very stable. And we've expanded it to 21 sites, which covers every town in Columbia County.
Soon to be 22. We're adding Philmont. Their own site.
Wow.
They have a, you know, Philmont really does have a distinct identity and from the rest of Claverack, even though it is within Claverack, and like Valatia, which also asked for their own site, we're going to give it to them.
And Catskill.
And Catskill.
Catskill's up and running.
I was wondering when you were going to cross the river.
We crossed the river.
Venture into the west.
We did. We crossed the river some time ago because they were asking for it too, and we'd like to expand to the rest of Greene County and the rest of the counties in the Hudson Valley and beyond, and when we can, that's the plan. That's the idea that, you know, what we realized when we had to abandon our town is that although it was sad and people still say they miss it, we could do really much more good as an addition to doing well, you know, as a business, because it was just not a business, by doing what we've done, you know, by creating something that could, as they say in the industry, scale and be virtually anywhere.
Exactly.
Virtually is the there's a double meaning there.
And yes, because you are virtual. And so when people want to find you virtually, what's the URL?
It's very simple. It's imby.com.
I-M-B-Y.
IMBY.com. IMBY, of course, is an acronym for In My Backyard, which is our positive spin on NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Yes.
Although there are a lot of issues in which people in the community are trying to, you know, rail and fight against development that is considered unwise, that NIMBY is being used for that. But I don't think of those people as NIMBYs. I think of them as engaged citizens who are using the tool that we've provided. It's just one way to use the tool that NIMBY is. As John says, it's a very complex site, and there are a lot of ways to use it. But that's one.
That's one. And one of the things that I think you allow are blogs on your...
We absolutely do allow. We encourage blogs. You can create your own blog in 2 minutes.
Yes.
And
I need to do that because I have a blog that
Please do. We'd love that. We really do. We have some very nice blogs, farms in particular. But we've also had a blog, too, and there will be a third one from Kari Naftali, who is an extraordinary woman. She's volunteered in Greece to help refugees twice. She lives in New Lebanon, and she's there again for the third time and will be starting another blog, you know, describing what happens there, which is it's very different from what you read in the media because she's there and it's immediate and she's full of heart and love. Well, same thing.
Yeah, I can only imagine because I saw a video interview with a young woman from England who was working with the refugees in Greece, and
yeah,
it was very different from what you because the media seems to look down where this young woman was looking out.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you put it that way because that's really the idea behind IMBY as a vehicle for local journalism, that it's everybody's viewpoint. We don't have editors, we don't have reporters, though Enid and I contribute regular material to it, and there are certain people in the community who post on a very regular basis. But anybody, literally anywhere, can register and post whatever they like, and it really means that each town site is like a community blog itself. And we don't call it a blog because it's a lot more than that. We really want it to be seen as journalism, as real journalism.
Blogs are journalism.
Pardon?
Blogs are journalism too.
Yes.
It's just they're just one form.
Yeah.
Eventually, because there is this controversy surrounding user-generated material, usurping professional journalism on the web, which I think is, you know, a very valid concern, one of the ways in which we plan to allay that as we expand, and in our next phase, we're looking to build out the network to about 100 sites between Saratoga in the north and Brooklyn in the south.
So the Hudson Valley.
The Hudson
yes,
Valley.
The Hudson Valley.
But that, as we do that, what we're also planning to launch is what we're calling a global portal, which will be a separate site for professional journalism, including content of interest to communities everywhere.
So when we say global, we just mean global reach. We don't mean international issues unless they relate directly to life in communities. So those issues, those topics, I should say, that are listed on the side of the site, from local culture to local food to business, politics and government, schools, all that, kids, those are the same topics that will be covered, but they'll have to be of interest and relevance to any community, not just the community about which it, you know, it's written. It could be a local story, for instance, a community dealing with fracking, but that has wide relevance, so it could happen. And we've, you know, by publishing Our Town, we've gotten to know a lot of very good writers who live in the county or in the valley or close enough, and we'll utilize them. We'll assign stories, and you know, we'll do that because we think it's important to really go deep and have the resources to allow journalists to do that, photographers and videographers as well.
Yes. It sounds to me as if you have a passion for this region.
Oh, we do. I do. I think John does too. I thought I was a New Yorker by which I mean a New York City resident, which I was for a very long time, and I never imagined that I would leave Manhattan. I grew up in Brooklyn, and I lived in Manhattan for decades, and I loved it. I was passionate about it, and I still am to a certain extent, although I no longer live there. But circumstances brought me here, and I grew to love it and feel passionate and become engaged on many levels in the culture, in the community, in the politics, in the government. And you know, IMBY is a way to, once you start doing something like this, there's no way you can't be fully engaged in the community, and it helps a lot to be passionate about it and to care about retaining what is so extraordinary about it. I used to say that what I liked best about living here was the food. And that's still true to a certain extent because the food is extraordinary. I don't mean restaurant food, although that's become extraordinary, but I mean the farms and the artisans and the way you can eat so well by cooking at home, or, you know, it's remarkable. And, you know, the nature and the culture, which has grown exponentially since I got here in 92. It was just pretty much TSL then. But it's, you know, as you know, it's exploded. So, yeah, we are.
Yeah. John, I know from listening to you that you come from far away.
Well, originally,
where far away
yes.
are you from?
Well, I'm technically an Englishman, but I was born in Wales.
Ah.
Both my parents were Londoners, but my father's business was in South Wales. I have absolutely no Welsh blood.
Mm-hmm.
But I, as a child, I learned the language, one had to, in elementary school there. And while I doubt my vocabulary is more than about 10 words, I do know how to pronounce it, which is no mean feat.
No mean feat, if anybody has. Say a word in Welsh.
Castell Coch.
And what does that mean?
Red Castle.
Red Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a very complicated language, ladies and gentlemen. What else should people know about IMBY? Can you advertise in IMBY?
You can. And we kept the rates for advertising very, very low, really, because we wanted it to be possible for just about any local business or organization or institution to advertise on IMBY, because part of the mission is to support local everything. So everything else on IMBY is free, including classified ads, but display ads cost, but not a lot. Okay. So, and they link, of course, to your website, and they, you know, they rotate, and they look good because John designs many of them free, and because they're the page is designed to make ads look good. That's one thing to know. The other thing to know is that although sometimes we'll describe IMBY in a very shorthand as Facebook for communities, it's really a lot more than that. It's not just one, as you know, Matt, it's not just one front page feed. There are lots of pages. There is, in addition to the front page for stories and events and various announcements, there is a calendar of events, which is easy to see what's going on when, you know. Mm-hmm. There is a directory of businesses, organizations, and institutions. All these things are available for registered users to add to. We don't do any of that, but people can and do and hopefully will. There are, as John said, 22 sites. Each one is a different community. So each site has all of these things. There are free classifieds. There is a blogs page where you can start a blog. There's a wiki page where you can add to the description of your community.
Groups.
There are groups. There are as a newcomers page where you can introduce yourself to the community if you've just arrived. There's more. Those are the basic things. We've redesigned the site, which will happen. You know, we'll build that when we can, the new design, because we've received a lot of feedback in the last few years since we've launched, and we've learned a lot ourselves about how IMBY is good and used well and how it isn't. And what we're doing is separating the stories from the events and announcements, because otherwise you lose the stories, which are the meat of IMBY. They go too quickly down the feed. So we're going to be doing that in our next iteration.
Okay. I want to remind our listeners that this is WGXC Accra. I'd like to also let them know that we're speaking with Enid Futterman and John Isaac, who are the founders of IMBY.com, which is a local Facebook for communities in the shorthand of trying to explain it, the elevator pitch. But it's much more than that. It's a really rich, multi-layered resource for people who live in Columbia and soon to be Greene counties.
Well, to a certain extent already in Greene counties in Catskill.
Yes.
What we ought to add is that the purpose of IMBY, the mission of IMBY, I should say, is to build community. And our ethos, what we like to say, that we're not just local, we're localist. Localism is our ideology. You know, we believe in the sustainability of community by supporting everything local, from business to government to schools to food to farms. We're very, very, very big on farms and food, you know, and we like to help support them because we think what they're doing for us is extraordinary and we want to help.
How do you see, because you've been here now 25 years, which is, it's amazing to me when I said to Jeff Cole earlier that I've had a house here for almost 17 years. The time goes very, very quickly.
Certainly does.
What is the greatest change? What are some of the great changes that you've seen in Columbia and Greene County since 1992. John?
Well, what attracted me...
He's been here since 94, I think, or
What attracted me to Columbia County after decades of living in Manhattan was the space, more than anything. And it has to be said that between New York City and the Capital Region, Columbia County is completely unique, at least on this side of the river, by virtue of its being so sparsely populated and so charming in many, many ways.
And beautiful.
And beautiful. And certainly as far as our efforts with Our Town and IMBY, particularly here, are concerned, it's a concern with preserving the kind of community that has developed here, the population of which has barely changed since the mid-19th century. And it's an extraordinary resource for the for New York State to have such a relatively unspoiled area so close to two large conurbations.
But so, it's grown in richness.
That's what I want to say. As active citizens and journalists, you know, our goal is to see the county thrive, but as much as possible to maintain its not only its charm but its purity. And I think that the Hudson certainly has managed to avoid the kind of development you've seen in Dutchess, for example, and it's almost a miracle that it has. And I think that obviously the efforts of so many community activists and arts organizations and so on have contributed enormously. But it's always going to be an issue. And I think that if IMBY can help help maintain that balance, I mean, we do have, as Enid says, a kind of localist agenda, which isn't to say that IMBY isn't available for anybody to make their opinions heard. It's a forum. It's not. We have preferences, and we like when they're promoted, and we encourage local farmers to post on IMBY and cultural organizations and so on. But at the same time, it really is a forum for everybody's voice. And we hope that people see it that way and use it that way.
It is.
But the explosion of culture and food, I mean, food being restaurants and farms, too. There are so many more. When I got here, there was one CSA farm, Community Supported Agriculture Farm, and I joined it, Roxbury Farm, which was then on Roxbury Road in Claverack, and I'm still a member, although it's now in Kinderhook. But there are, I don't know, 10, 12 CSA farms now, and lots of other farms that sell at the markets. And, you know, it's really an explosion of young people farming sustainably, beautifully, and the culture. You know, there's Omai, there's the Hudson Opera House, there's Basilica Hudson, there's Helsinki, Club Helsinki, there's Spencertown Academy, which was there then, but not as vibrant as it is now, the Malay colony, on and on and on, not to mention the yoga and Pilates and, you know, all of the other health and spiritual possibilities of growth and learning. And, you know, it's, and music and art and to some extent theater, although theater is the only, is probably the only thing I miss in about being here and not being in New York, partly because the other part of my life is that I write musical theater, so I miss that very close connection to the New York theater. But that's pretty much it. You know, there's not much else that we lack here at this point.
Right, and I think that in terms of theater, Bridge Street Theater in Catskill has done some extraordinary things.
Yes, it has, and I was very happy to see some of the work that's being done there, and sorry that I missed Kieran and Jade, because I did very much appreciate the playwright's previous play, which was done at Stageworks. Stageworks has done some very good work as well, but they've been in hiatus, I think, lately. I hope they come back. And of course, there's everything in Berkshire County that's available. One of the things that's so great about Columbia County is its proximity to everything else in the region. You know, we're kind of equidistant from the Capital District, Woodstock, Dutchess, and the Berkshires. Yeah. So that's nice.
I've often, when I've described Columbia County to friends and relatives that live far away, I feel like this is where New England ends and the West begins across the river.
That's a nice way of putting it. It's true. It's a pretty unique, I think, area. And the proximity to Manhattan and Brooklyn is no small thing either. And the train, you know,
exactly.
you if you have the time, and you know, you can get there and you can see all the other. And we've, you know, there on occasion I've reviewed Broadway or off-Broadway theater on IMBY, because not only are so many of our readers part-time, you know, second homeowners who actually do also live in Manhattan or Brooklyn, but there are so many other people like us who are expatriates and who, you know New York very well, and or who don't and can get there by hopping on the train or the Taconic, both beautiful means of transportation.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. I will be taking the train into the city Friday to have lunch with my guest in the first hour.
Oh.
Jeff Cole.
Great. Well, yeah, it's easy. It would be nice if it were a little cheaper.
Yes.
It's a little
expensive.
Pricey to get there.
It is pricey.
Not by European standards.
That's true. That's true. I remember the last time I was in London, it was very expensive to get from London out to the airport by train.
Really? It's a 15-minute
thing. Yeah, it was about $45 or something, and it was about a half an hour on the train. So.
Really? Okay.
Okay.
Well.
But, you know, that's it. The convenience of the train is amazing.
Amazing.
Because and now with Wi-Fi on it.
And you can, what I like about the train is that I can work on it,
yeah.
You know, because of the Wi-Fi and a laptop. It's, you know, you're not really wasting your time. One of the reasons I write reviews of New York theater is that I want to encourage people to use our location. You know, not that you need to leave here to have a good time or to be enriched culturally, but it's a nice plus to be so connected to, you know, what I still think of as the greatest city in the world, even though it's getting a little corporate for my taste.
That's a whole other subject.
It is. But that's one of the things that John was talking about, preserving that lack of corporate identity here.
Yeah. I have a friend named Carolyn Reynolds who used to work with me when I was at A&E. And Carolyn was based in New York. I was based in Los Angeles. And she and I had a conversation not so very long ago. And she said, I went back to New York because I always thought of it as my home. And I realized my New York is gone.
Yeah.
And another New York has come. And that's one of the things about New York is it's always changing.
I know. But some of that makes me sad. Although some of it is left. You can find vestiges of it, of the New York that I considered mine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know you can. What else, John and Enid, do we need to know about IMBY before we
say goodbye? This is important to know. If you register, sign up, which takes 3 minutes, but
hardly, not even that.
A minute takes no time.
You have to wait for an email notification.
You don't have to wait. It's usually right there as soon as you. Anyway, the confirmation. It's the usual process. It's very simple. But if you do, not only are you eligible to post anything you want about your community, your business, your anything, your ideas, your views. You get two e-blasts every week. And one of them is called IMBY Weekend, which is actually about all the, it lists all the events and with links to the IMBY posts that are taking place in the upcoming week, really, although we call it IMBY Weekend. Most of them are on the weekends. And that goes out today, later, usually at the end of the day today, sometimes at the end of the evening. And it's people tell us that it's very, very useful, and it's how they plan their weekend.
I certainly do.
Ah, good. Nice to know. And the other one is called IMBY Week, and that's for the best stories of the previous week. So some people tell me that that's how they use IMBY. They get the e-blast, and they decide what they want to read or look at. So it's an important perk of signing up, even if you never intend to post anything.
That's one of the major reasons to sign up, is to be informed about what's happening within the community, because more and more, and I know from a couple of conversations, is that more and more people are thinking it's important that their event be listed in IMBY so that people will know about it.
Yeah.
And they can explain what they're doing.
That is true, and people get very panicky if they think they missed our deadline. And if, by the way, you want to be on our IMBY Weekend reminder list, which I send out a reminder every Monday morning usually with the deadlines and the guidelines and whatever else you need to know about it. If you'd like to be on that, you can reach me at enid@imby.com or info@imby.com.
Okay.
Can I just add one thing?
Absolutely.
About IMBY and about an IMBY site, is that everything is archived. Every post is permanently maintained and accessible through searches. So, an IMBY site becomes really not only an ongoing resource, but a historical archive of a community, and that's something that we very much want to preserve and be able to offer, so that because one of the things about the internet is that, I mean, you know, everything is searchable and retrievable, but to have everything about a community in one particular place, I think, will be a valuable resource.
I think so too.
In days to come.
I had not thought about that, but I think that is a wonderful additional benefit of IMBY, because as time goes on, it will provide a chronicle, a chance for us to look back, as I used to do with my National Geographic magazines that I kept so many years of, and finally had to let them go to the library because I was leaving.
Yeah, that in this way you can keep it all without cluttering up your house.
Exactly. I've been buying more books for my Kindle, which I read on my phone, because I have no more bookshelf space left at home.
I don't either, but I still like books.
I do too. I have a huge high. Well, this has been delightful. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for the opportunity.
And we're going to sign off here, and perhaps we'll have you back, and we'll have another chronicle in a few months of where you are with IMBY then.
Okay.